which is Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. A psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went unto the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou didst cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We begin then, book 3. This is a psalm of Asaph. And by Asaph, it does not necessarily mean Asaph himself. Some of the psalms, as we will see as we pursue through the Psalter, the Asaphic Psalms were most likely written long after Asaph. And so Asaph is sometimes a name that applies not just to Asaph, but perhaps generations of Asaphites, if you will. All right, so a Psalm of Asaph here. Remember that Asaph was one of David's seers, one of David's prophets. And so those that came after him that wrote Psalms were also among the prophets. The thesis statement of this psalm is incredibly important, and we must give it to the whole to govern it. Surely, God is good to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. This is important. It helps us to understand the entirety of the psalm, because there's going to be a time when, notice that even Asaph himself, or whoever, one of the Asaphites that wrote this, says, my foot was near to slipping. Now, I want you to see that, and then I want you to compare that to verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Let's understand what Asaph means here when he says, my foot was near to slipping. Asaph was but a step away from apostasy. You say, well, Pastor, that's obviously an exaggeration. Well, it may have been. Perhaps it's not. I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would recognize that even among the best of us, there are times in our lives where we are but a step from the path toward apostasy. Let's be careful there. Let us not be so secure that we refuse the means that Asaph found so comfortable and so helpful to him here in the psalm. So we have used the psalm a lot. It's a very instructive psalm. We have been in here, we've been here a lot. So I want to change up a little bit, not the interpretation of the psalm, that remains, but maybe some emphasis. Okay, so let's look at, first of all, Asaph is doing something that we were instructed earlier today not to do. And that is that he begins to walk by sight and not by faith. He takes a look at the wicked. They're comfortable. They're stretched out. They have no difficulties. Even when they die, they seem to go away just fine. They don't seem to have any trouble. They're not troubled like other men. And he takes that to the next step. Surely, I've cleansed my own hands in vain, he says. Look at these guys. If outward indications speak anything to us, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. In all of my time saying that it was wrong and living separately from them, that's all been for nothing. That's the direction Asaph is going. Out of his own mouth. Listen to what he says. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. When I thought to know this, when I meditated on it, it was painful. It was painful for me to watch the wicked prosper and myself bashed and abased for trying to live holy. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that maybe it's not worth it? Maybe it's not worth all the trouble? Look at these other guys. They seem to be swimming along just fine. So then he says, if I would speak thus, I would offend the generation of thy children. The first thing that he says is what? What a bad example I'm being to others. In that I would take up this kind of speech, this kind of attitude, what a terrible example I'm being to others. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to weaken others' resolve for holiness as well, pursuing this course. It is interesting, isn't it, that even in the midst of considering himself, and this is a sign that Asaph is not a man who is an enemy of God. Rather, he's a friend of God. Because the first thing is, he takes no thought for himself. He says, you know, that's going to be a bad example to others. If I go down this road, many are going to be offended. And then he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. You know, this is one of those passages where you look at it and you say, this is tailor-made for a preacher. The Lord has given us a softball here. It's real easy to understand what's going on. Asaph, for his part, he's been a good newsman. He's been surveying the world. And he's seen that wicked men are prospering. They're doing just fine. And he, because of everything that he's denied to himself to live after the faith, he's not doing so well. He's been plagued, he's been buffeted, he's been persecuted, he's been mocked, he's been scorned, and is it worth it? Well, while he's looking out there, it's not. But the first inkling that the Spirit of God places upon him is, what about the example you'll be? And then the second is, I went to the sanctuary of God, and I understood their latter end. In other words, he got himself under the preaching of the word. He began to partake of the ordinances of God and everything that they taught him. And he said, you know what? There is more to this situation than I see with my eyes. There is more to this situation than I am able myself in my fallenness to perceive. There is another dimension here that I have not yet considered. And coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached and having the ordinances dispensed, you know what? I got it. I understand their latter end. Surely thou didst set their feet, not mine, their feet in slippery places. So you see, his feet were near slipping, but he found such great utility in the ordinances, in the public ordinances of worship. And the Lord, through those ordinances, brought him back to his senses. How they are brought into desolation in a moment. Notice, they may go along for a long time like that, but in a moment they'll be brought into desolation. Why would I not see that? So then, my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. That is the deepest part of me. My heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. That's how animals live, right? According to comforts. The wicked folk, look how comfortable they are. I think I want that. That's bestial living. That's beast living. And we were not created to be beasts. We are created in the image of God. So then, notice his confidence. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy countenance, with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. So, Asaph now, apprised of the whole picture, you say, okay, well, we can bring the psalm to an end, right? Well, we could, but then we would miss the richest part of it. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You see what has happened to Asaph? He's gone back to verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel. And he has recognized now that in all of this that the Lord has done for him and taking him through this valley of unbelief and bringing him out the other side, apprised of the Word of God, the ordinances of God, the truth of God, and what his ultimate end is as a believer, what he says is, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire but thee. And we might say, there is nothing upon earth. You know all the stuff I was talking about that the rich guys have? That doesn't move me anymore. My eyes are now full. My desires are full. There is nothing that I desire except the Lord. Concentrating on all that other stuff, let me tell you what that's like, he says. My flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, Psalm 73 is a psalm that I think is much more common to the condition of the faithful Christian than perhaps we would be willing to admit. But notice the Bible as a book not only of truth, but a book of candid truth. It kind of gets right down on top of our hearts and dances around a while. And tells us about those secret desires and those secret longings that we have toward the wicked and how to remedy them. How to get them in their right perspective. And how, once again, to bring the Lord back into our affections as that most valuable thing. That's what Psalm 73 is about. I know that's brief, but I think very, very poignant. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.